Well, thank you, Chris, and so appreciative of the Next Gen team and all the work that they do week in, week out. If you have a Bible, if you can open that up to Matthew chapter 6, that's where we're going to be this morning. And I want to welcome those who are joining us from our venue space as well this morning. So good to be with you. Over the last number of weeks, we have been discussing the Lord's Prayer and how we are inviting the Lord into our lives this Lenten season and learning how to pray differently. And as I was reflecting on the text this week, I was reminded of an experience I had as a junior in high school. My parents took our whole family to the Caribbean on a cruise for spring break. This was the first time I'd ever been on a cruise before, and the entire experience just blew me away. I mean, teenage boy, all-you-can-eat food. Unbelievable, right? And so you have all the experiences of, you know, the food and the entertainment and the shows. I mean, it was like a floating dream world for 7 days. And so one of the stops, our cruise ship pulled up to its own island right next to Haiti, and my parents sprung for my brother and I to go parasailing. And so we jumped on the parasailing boat, got strapped in, and the parachute started lifting us up into the sky. And as we were about 400 feet above everything, kind of looking down below, I developed two perspectives. The first one was that which seemed larger than life was actually very small. Right, this cruise ship that had everything on board that I could have ever dreamed of, the food, the entertainment, the water slides, the ice skating, the mini golf, it's actually this tiny little bitty thing over here, right? And in that space, it was quiet and calm away from all the busy and the noise. I began to notice the beauty of the Haitian countryside, the mountains moving into the ocean waters turning colors along the beach. It was just beautiful. I missed all of that just sitting in the boat. And then I noticed another perspective. I noticed our tiny little boat down below as we were up above that was pulling us around the bay, and the boat was moving and weaving, almost hitting these tiny little Haitian fishing boats made out of wood propelled by oars, and the wake of it would almost turn and capsize these poor little Haitian fishing boats. And then I noticed there was a Haitian village with tin roofs and people that were living a very different lifestyle than the lifestyle I had lived the past 5 days. And as I was pulled back into the boat, my perspective about life the way it really is radically shifted. And I think that this is what Jesus is inviting us into as he's instructing us to pray. He's instructing us to pray in a way that changes our perspective, that prayer elevates us in a way that we don't see the world kind of through our own little cruise ship mentality, but we begin to see the world through God's lens and God's eyes. And as we see the world through God's eyes, we begin to see the totality of how God is working and moving, but also our part to play even in the brokenness in our world. And so Jesus invites his disciples into what we call the Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew 6. And he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." And the significance of this, what we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks, is that when we pray, our prayer first and foremost is to the Father, to see God as our Father. That prayer isn't about an exchange of goods and services, but prayer is about entering into a space of relationship. And as we enter into the space of relationship, prayer begins to elevate us in a way that we see your kingdom come, your will be done, God's perspective on the world. It begins to shift and change what we think. And we begin to pray that heaven's culture would invade our culture here on earth, and heaven's prerogatives would be our prerogatives. And that when we pray this way, that God begins to shape and change our hearts. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis about prayer. He says, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me." And this is the invitation that we have this Lenten season as we prepare our hearts for Easter to step in to the Lord's Prayer in a way that shapes us and elevates our perspective. And so back at our Welcome Center, our team put together these little cards that have the Lord's Prayer on it. And one of the disciplines that I've been doing every day when I wake up is I've just been going through the Lord's Prayer, phrase by phrase, and ask God just to reveal in my heart Heaven's prerogatives, Heaven's will, the Father's will. And my prayer is that you would take up a similar discipline as we move towards Easter. So we're at the point in our prayer now in verse 11 where Jesus says this phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, typically when we think of prayer, this is what we think of, asking God. This is the type of prayer that people are very interested in. How do I get something from God? How do I make prayer work? The things that I'm praying for, how do I get those things? Well, this is a type of prayer that theologians called petitionary prayer. You're petitioning God for your wants, your needs, your desires. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to break down each of these phrases to help us understand the true heart of petitionary prayer, of asking God of things in a way that is meaningful, rich, and then is aligned with the heart of God, okay? So first, Jesus says, give us. Now, Eastern culture was communal, so that is a give us. In Western culture, we're very individualistic. And so when we pray this, we pray, give me, isn't it? Give me my daily bread, right? Give me, give me, give me. But when I say give me, I hear my grandma's voice in my ear saying, that doesn't sound very polite, Andrew, right? Father, may I please have, right? Maybe is the better way to say that. But this isn't what Jesus says. He says, give us. He's very forward. And I think Jesus is encouraging us to pray in a way that demonstrates confidence to the Father. We pray confidently to the Father. Why? Because the Father already knows what we need. He already knows what we want. And prayer isn't about getting what we need or want. Prayer is about, first and foremost, relationship with the Father. And so part of the way that we demonstrate authentic relationships is that there's authenticity in the way in which we pray. Give us. God, this is what we need. And so this is the type of prayer that we begin with. Now, what's interesting about this phrase, verse 11, it is deeply rooted in the Old Testament. And I think that Jesus is actually doing a contrast from a story found in Exodus 16. So if you want to go ahead, flip your Bibles over to Exodus 16. And Jesus is going to show a contrast in the way in which he's calling us to pray and the way that human beings typically respond to God. All right, so Jesus's prayer not only shows us the nature of which we pray, but also the character of who God is in the midst of our prayer. So let's take a look at Exodus 16, verse 1. It says, "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come up out of Egypt." In the desert, that's important, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, now, if you're going to do the text properly, you got to do it in a grumbling voice, okay? So here we go. Let's get our grumbling voices going. "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death." You just have to read the text the way it's supposed to be, right? Now notice, what's going on here? There's a heart posture. What is the heart posture that's named? Grumbling, right? There's a grumbling heart posture. Now, they have been now out of Egypt for 45 days, and they're complaining about their lack of food. Legit complaint, right? You need food to survive, particularly when you're in the wilderness. And so it's not that they have this need. It's how human beings typically respond when we have need. Grumbling. And all parents said, amen, right? We say, God, we deserve better than this. What are you doing? Hold up your end of the deal. And so they're grumbling. And the text goes on in Exodus 16 that they're not actually grumbling against Moses and Aaron. They're grumbling against God, against Yahweh himself. And so there's this heart posture of grumbling. Now, here's what grumbling says. I don't have enough, and I'm angry at you for not giving me what is due. I'm like clenching in and tight-fisted, close-handed. I'm saying, God, bring us back to Egypt. Life was better there. It's a grumbling heart posture. And in this prayer, Jesus is saying, instead of grumbling, give us. Now again, parent-child relationship. If a kid has a toy but wants the better toy, what does he have to do? He has to open up his hand to the toy that he has in order to receive something else. And so part of the heart posture of give us is say, everything that I have is from you to begin with, God. And anything that you want to take from me, you can. But I'm also asking that you would give us. And so instead of grumbling, tight-fisted, frustrated, let's go back to the way life used to be heart posture, but it's an open-handed saying, God, everything we have, we trust in you. Give us. Does that make sense? We're not saying give us on our basis. We're saying give us on the basis of who he is, our Father in heaven. Give us, because we know you're our Father. See, the book of James says that you have not because you ask not. Jesus will go on to say, whatever you ask in my name. And people will look at that and say, what does that mean? Does it really mean whatever? And what it means is that God will bring his promises into your life, promises of blessings and promises of prosperity through prayer. It's what God wants to do. James says that no good thing does he withhold, meaning that every good thing that you ask of God, he's going to give it to you. Sometimes there's things that we think that are good that we ask of that aren't good for us, and God doesn't give them to us. Why? Because he's good. It's the Father that is running to give his child what the child needs. Jesus says, approach the Father with the same level of confidence, with the same heart posture. Say, I release anything I'm holding on to only to receive back what you want to give me because you are good and I trust in you. Give us is to pray confidently to the Father. All right, next part of the phrase, today. Give us today, or some translations, this day. And this is a prayer for God to meet your now. For God to meet your now. Every part of your now. Every part of your current reality. Your desires for provision, fulfillment, sustenance. What drives you today. The consciousness, your thoughts, the decisions that are in front of you, your emotions, your fears, your anxieties, your gratitude, everything that is like living in you, say, God, would you meet that now in this present moment? Now, here's why I think that Jesus says this phrase today or this day is because human beings have a difficult time living in present reality. Yes? We are terrible at this. In fact, this is part of the Exodus story in Exodus 16. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. He's answering this need, even though they were grumbling against him. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day, that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they had gathered on the other days. Do you understand what's going on? There's daily bread. Daily bread falling from heaven. He says, you know what this bread is for? Today. And the reason why I'm going to give you bread for today is I'm going to test you. Now, what's the test? To trust that God is enough for today. That's the test. Prayer is about God meeting your now because prayer is about God meeting you now. Do you get that? But again, prayer primarily is relational. It's not about getting something from God. And so for God to meet you now, you have to bring God into your now. Now, I didn't see any 1981 DeLoreans in the parking lot, so I'm safe to say that I don't think anyone just came from the future, okay? I don't think that happened. You can't travel back to the past. So my question is, why do our prayers go back to the past or are all about the future and we forget about this present moment, the only place that God can actually meet us? Because you don't live in the future or the past. You can only be present. And so Jesus tells us that is where you are to pray because that is where God can meet with you. You cannot encounter God in the past or the future, but only right now. And so many people have difficult time with prayer and from hearing from God in prayer because we're so preoccupied in the next thing and how things are going to work out, how God is going to resolve this problem over here, rather than engaging with God in our present moment. See, today is part of the prayer because we're joining in the Israelites in that test. What's the test? Will give us today be enough for us? Can we receive all the joy, the satisfaction, the fulfillment, and the peace that God has available for us today, or are we robbed of it because we're focusing so much on tomorrow? Do you understand the difference? Give us today our daily bread. Again, the Lord told Moses in Exodus 16, he says, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. And we see this wonderful description of what manna was and how it was this incredible gift to the Israelite people and how God was using it in a way to help shape them. And in verse 35, it says that the Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to the land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. And here's what I see when I read the text is that the manna wasn't just about the manna. Yes, the Israelites had a legitimate need for food. Yes, but there was a need behind the need. What was that? Dependence upon God. And until there was that which was shaped in their heart that every single day I will depend on God for what I need, God couldn't provide for them more. He couldn't provide for them greater blessing because they hadn't come upon realizing that more significant need. Their daily dependence upon God. And so when Jesus instructs us to pray, give us our day or today our daily bread, he's saying pray to fulfill our deepest needs. Yes, there are needs that we have that are practical and tangible. You know, getting bills paid and putting food on the table. These are legitimate needs. But so oftentimes there's needs behind the needs that God wants to minister to. The deeper needs of our lives. And these deeper needs, they're not just shaped and formed over God answering one prayer. They're shaped over a long period of time. For the Israelites, it was 40 years. And so here we have this manna that was more than a provision. It was God shaping their hearts to help them understand what daily dependence and trust in him looks like. And Jesus says that this is the way that we are to shape our prayers, a daily dependence upon him. Give us what we need today. That means that God, you are my provider for all things. I hold my life open-handed before you. When there's no way forward, God, I know that even today, even right now, you are going to give me exactly what I need to move through. Now, just like the people in the Israelites in the desert, on the sixth day, he said, gather twice as much, so on the seventh day, you can just rest. God still wants us to enter into Sabbath spaces where we just rest in him, right? We're not asking, we're not petitioning, we're just resting and receiving from him because God provides more and what we need exactly when we need it. There's a historical man who lived in the 1800s in England by the name of George Mueller, who lived this out incredibly. George Mueller was the founder of the Ashley Down Orphanage, which cared for thousands of children. And as he started this orphanage, he had this conviction on his heart that he would never ask for money or publicize financial needs. Instead, he would just simply pray and trust God alone to provide. And so every time he prayed, he would write down his prayers and then how God met the answer to those prayers. And there's a recorded 50,000 answered prayers involving specific timely provisions throughout the lifetime of this orphanage. One time, the orphanage had no food for breakfast, and so Mueller gathered the children, and they prayed and thanked God for the food that they didn't have, okay? Now think about that as a teaching moment. Moments later, a baker knocks on the door saying that he felt led to bring the orphanage bread. And then the milkman's cart broke down outside and offered the milk to the orphanage before it spoiled. Like, you just can't make this stuff up. It's just like God provides daily bread. And so despite never making requests for donations, millions of dollars passed through his hands to bless these children. It was just a way of just saying, God, this orphanage isn't about me. It's not my name that's on it. It's all about you. It's about what you're doing. You care about these children more than I care about them. Why wouldn't you provide for them? This is a radical example of how to incorporate this prayer into our lives. See, daily bread is also a humility that our lives will be shaped by the wisdom of the Father. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, God, I'm asking for this thing here, but because God is good and he has heavenly wisdom, sometimes he's not giving us the things that we're asking for because they're not actually good for us, or they're maybe not the best for us. And so sometimes God is answering our prayers in the wisdom of heaven. And only later can we go back and look and say, oh yeah, he got that one right. Right, so there's a humility saying, I'm asking of this thing, but I'm not even sure I'm asking for the greatest need or for the best situation here because I don't have your wisdom. So God, here's what it is, and I'll trust you with the result. You understand the posture? All right, so we're going to close kind of this segment. Give us this day our daily bread. We all have needs in our lives. Sometimes we have needs that we don't even know that we need yet. And I think through prayer, it's an opportunity for us to elevate our perspective for what we truly need and for what God is really doing in the world. And the way that we see that is through the person of Jesus. Okay, so I want to tie all this together in John 6. So in John 6, there's a crowd of people that are following Jesus because he performed the miracle of loaves and fishes. Just fed 5,000 people with a bag lunch, okay? And so now these people, they're following him around. It's like, is he going to do it again? Is he going to do it again? Like, what's going to happen? And Jesus looks at them and says, well, you're following me around because you want more food. But instead, look to me for the life that God requires. And so they ask him, they say, well, can we have this life? And now Jesus is going to make this tie between the feeding of the 5,000, the manna in Exodus, the daily bread, and this prayer that he's inviting us to prayer. Here's what it says, John 6:32. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the crowd's like, what is this bread? This is amazing. He said, sir, always give us this bread. Better bread than Moses? Are you kidding me? Verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And he goes on to say that the will of the true bread is to do the will of the Father. And then he says in verse 40, for he says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks at the Son is the bread of heaven, and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Many, many different times throughout the Gospels, Jesus will talk about this bread, this sustenance, the needs that we have in our lives. And he says, you know what the true bread is that you know nothing about? Is to do God's will, to do the will of the Father. And Jesus is saying that in seeking our daily needs, we're going to realize our greater needs that we have in our lives. And you'll find the person that meets every single need that you will ever have in your life. The true bread, that has come down from heaven. All of us have needs. All of us have wants. All of us have petitions. And Jesus says, bring those prayers, bring those petitions, ask, say, give us. But the answer to every single need that we have is the bread that has come down from heaven to sustain us and to give us life. And Jesus is saying, as I go to the Father, what I will find is that these needs are found in me, in the person of Jesus, that all of your comfort, security, acceptance, and power that you crave in your life is ultimately met in the person of Jesus, our daily bread. Who Jesus is, the bread that has come down from heaven. And so when he instructs us to pray, give us today our daily bread, it's a way in which we're encountering and meeting Jesus and holding our faith and our trust in him as we're building relationship with the Father and understanding it's through Jesus that all of these promises are available to us as his children. And Jesus says that this is eternal life. When we trust in God in this way, when we trust him with everything that we need in our lives and we're able to enter into life with God in this intimate way, we're entering into eternal life that begins today and extends all the way through eternity. And this is the invitation that Jesus gives us to pray today. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we just pray this morning, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for the needs that rest upon our hearts. Maybe relational needs, maybe financial needs, maybe health needs. And recognize in all of them, Jesus is saying, bring them before the Father because he is good and gracious and kind. And as we lay them before the Father with an open hand, Lord, I pray that the ministry of Jesus would meet our needs in a deep way and even reveal some of the deeper needs that we don't even know that are there. And that in today, the greatest need that we can have met is our dependence upon you for today, for what you're doing in our hearts, for how you're meeting us in this moment. That is the sweet and wonderful gift from the Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.